Hi, I'm Howard Dayton. Today on Money Matters, your purpose in life. It's all about God and not about you.
We'll talk some more about that in just one moment. Hi, I'm Steve Moore. Later, answers to your financial questions, including one from new parents wondering about the best way to save so their baby can one day go to a Christian school. And if you have something to ask about your journey to true financial freedom, call 1-800-525-7000. Thanks for joining us on Money Matters from Crown Financial Ministries.
The very first thing we do on the Crown Money Map is to encourage you to start the process of identifying your life purpose. Because once you know your purpose, it enables you to prioritize how you spend your time and how you spend your money. And you'll want to spend your money on those things that will help you fulfill your purpose. Now, it's really important to understand the Lord intends for each of us to fulfill a very special purpose. The Bible says this about King David in Acts 13, verse 36. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he was buried. Did you notice that David served God's purpose? Now listen to me really carefully. This is just super important to realize. It's not about what you want to do with your life. It's about what God wants you to do with it. He has a particular purpose in mind for you. Jeremiah 5 verse 1 says this, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. You know, what was true for Jeremiah is also true for you. I just love the way Ephesians 2 verse 10 expresses this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, you're very unique in God's sight. He created you for a specific individual purpose, and he uniquely equipped you with your physical appearance, your intellectual capacity, your personality, your abilities. Get this, for his purpose. He gave you everything you needed to accomplish what he wants you to do. Now, identifying your purpose is a process. It usually takes time. And the first and most important step in identifying your purpose is to pray. Ask the Lord God, your creator, to reveal it to you. And here's what I've discovered. When he reveals it, it really helps you prioritize how you spend your time and how you spend your money.
Now, Howard, when we discuss our purpose, that is not necessarily synonymous with our job or our career.
That's right? Exactly right, Steve. I mean, my job was in real estate development. My purpose was to teach people God's way of handling money.
And the good thing is that God wants us to know what our purpose is. It's not something he hides from us.
No, and he's the one that's got to reveal it to us.
Amen. You're listening to Money Matters. Your host, Howard Dayton. We'll be back with your calls after this.
When an emergency happens, and at some point in your life one will, you or your family will need access to some important information, and you'll probably need it fast. Knowing who to call, what accounts you have, and where, and which policy numbers you'll need can make that bad situation a manageable one. Unfortunately, most of us haven't put everything in one secure location so those who need it can get to it if we can't. Crown Financial Ministries is pleased to offer a solution. The Set Your House in Order software that allows you to enter, update, and retrieve personal information and documents in 60 categories, such as loan information, bank accounts, medical records, and living wills. Your information is secure because the data is encrypted and the software is password protected. Order your copy of Set Your House in Order today. You'll receive free software updates and free online support. Get complete details when you visit crown.org. Crown.org.
For details on hosting a Crown seminar in your church, go to crown.org. Look for the link that says, Learn More About Seminars, crown.org.
Thanks for tuning us in today. I'm Howard Dayton along with Steve Moore on Money Matters. Mm-hmm. And Steve, before we take callers, I have a startling stat for you.
I can't wait.
And this is really pretty startling. Actually, paying the minimum payment on a credit card with a $3,000 balance, you got that?
Uh-huh.
15% interest will take you 18 years to repay. But listen to this. If you just add $10 extra to the payment each month, you'll pay it off in 4 years.
Wow.
The difference between 18 years or 4 years, you save 14 years of paying interest, 14 years of those payments every month. Please, prepay your credit card so you pay those rascals off sooner rather than later.
And I have another idea. Call the credit card company, ask them if they'd be willing to look at your rate and adjust it downward. At least 50% of the time, they're willing to do that.
75% of the time, to be precise.
Oh, okay. So
yeah,
okay.
Exactly right.
A startling stat within a startling stat.
Scary.
You amaze me. Want to take some calls?
Let's do it.
All right. Frederick, Maryland, WAVA. Cindy, how you doing today?
I'm okay. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, Cindy. How can we help you?
I've always been a giver, not a taker.
Yes.
And I pay tithe and I give to the church. And my furnace is broke down twice this year. And with oil, the price it is.
Yes.
It's very difficult to pay all the bill. And I'm going to have to get a new furnace. And the church has offered to pay for it, but I said the only way I would do it is if they would let me pay them back. And I don't know, should I put the furnace on my credit card, or should I go with the church and let them do it? Or, you know, I've been praying and rattling my brain about what to do.
Let me ask you a couple of questions. Cindy, are you married?
No.
Are you a widow?
Yes.
Yes. Do you have family who could help you?
No.
Okay. Well, in the Bible, there are two places a person who's not married, a widow, should look for help.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first is their family. And 1 Timothy 5:16 tells us, if any woman who's a believer has widows in her family, she should help them. She should not let the church be burdened with them, so the church can help those widows who are really in need. And it's that second part of that passage, that's exactly where you are.
Oh.
If your family's not able to help you, the church is the one that has the responsibility to help.
Is that right?
Exactly right. And I can hear from you that you feel a little strange about receiving help from your church.
Yeah.
But really, that's what the church is all about. It's a privilege. It's a blessing for the church to be able to help folks who are in need, particularly a person like yourself, Cindy, who has been so faithful to give, you know, over the years, I sense. You know, allow the church to help you if the Lord does provide the resources so that you can reimburse the church. That's great. Otherwise, just receive the help from the church as from the Lord.
Yeah, but I feel indebted. You know, I feel I have to pay it back.
Well, you might feel that way, and I certainly would encourage you to, you know, try to do it if your finances enables you to do it. But listen to me really clearly. In the Bible, you don't see that.
Oh.
In the Bible, what you see is when a person is a widow, and they call it a widow indeed, then it's a part of the church's responsibility to help that widow. So from God's perspective, you're not under obligation to repay what the church helps you with. If he enables you to do it, that's fine. But please don't feel the pressure, guilt, or whatever you feelings you might have. You know, just be thankful, open-handed, rejoice that the Lord provides that to you. Okay?
Okay. Well, I praise the Lord for that.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much, Cindy, for your call.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Howard, I think you did a fine job on that, and Cindy is struggling with what a lot of us struggle with. You know, we're willing to help others, but it's kind of tough to take help at times.
It is, Steve, but you got to recognize that the Lord has instituted this incredible economy of His, mm-hmm. Where those who are in a position with resources can help those who are needy, and when you're in the needy stage of life, just be grateful that God has worked through his people to provide for you.
And how great to hear of a church that is willing to go the extra mile and help a widow in the church with a situation like this.
Absolutely.
1-800-525-7000. Now we go to Canton, Ohio, WCRF, and we welcome Kim.
Kim, thanks so much for calling.
Well, thank you. This year has been a really awesome year. Me and my husband had our first child, and we bought our first house.
Lots of changes.
Yeah, everything all at once. Feel very blessed. But we have been in kind of a strained financial situation. My husband is actually in school, so he's only working part-time, and then he's pursuing to go into the full-time ministry. And then once I had the child, I felt called to step back from my full-time position so that I could raise our baby.
Yes.
And I guess my main question is, when we're living by faith, not really knowing exactly how the bills are going to be paid every month, where does savings come into that? Because we don't want to get in a situation where we're using our credit card for things that come up and then don't have the money to pay that off. You know, how does savings fit into that?
Sure thing, Kim. Are you using a budget, and are you still making ends meet?
Yes. Well, we actually went through a budget course in a small group just recently.
Yes.
And to be honest, like, that was when it really got pointed out to us how much we were living by faith, because our budget,
the numbers just didn't work?
Yeah, they didn't work. when we added in how much we gave, as well as what our bills were, as well as then looked at what was coming in, we were like, oh, how is this happening? I don't know if you could say we're living by a budget. We've looked at a budget. We've set one up. It just doesn't
Pencil out. Let me ask you this, Kim. Precisely what is your husband studying? When will he graduate? What will he do after he graduates?
Okay, well, it's actually a very it's a very neat program. It's a ministerial study program. It's through the Christian and Missionary Alliance.
Yes.
So it's kind of like a independent work study kind of program where he's a mentor and he goes through the classes. He's on track right now to be done in about a year and a half.
All right.
That is paid for. And then at the end of his schooling, they'll place him at a church.
Now, will he remain a pastor? Will he become a missionary? Because I know the Christian Missionary Alliance has a very active missionary program as well.
Yes. Well, he will start as a pastor, and then if that call is laid on us, to go into the mission field, and we would do that. But there's always the home service anyway, so he would be in a position at a church as a pastor.
Okay, all right. Well, let me just tell you my sense of this. I mean, it sounds to me as if you're not only tithing, but you're giving substantially over and above the tithe. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's accurate. And this is, again, we're challenged with missions giving, and the amount that we've been able to give, we should not be able to give. It's simply just as a, you know, as it speaks about, it's the blessing of giving.
I hear you loud and clear.
Yeah.
Let me tell you my sense of what the Lord's doing. Really, I'm sure he's learning a lot through his college education, but I think what the Lord is really doing, the big lesson that he's teaching you and your husband, is to live by faith. Whether you serve in the pastorate, but particularly if God calls you to the mission field, where one of the key, most fundamental things as a missionary is to live by faith. And I think that's God's big agenda right now. So I would not feel badly about not being able to save at this point in your life. I do have one question, and that is the purchase of the home. If you're going to be moving in 18 months to pastor somewhere else, I guess I would pray about whether or not to put the house on the market now, because you can rent a whole lot less expensively than you can own. Really, that's my only counsel for you. I love the idea that you and your husband are sensitive to really follow the Lord, and he's put giving in a significant way on your heart compared to your income, and he's faithful to provide. So I think you're right on track. Mm.
At the same time, Howard, let me know if you disagree. Saving is not a less spiritual thing to do, because we're admonished to do just that all through God's Word.
Absolutely, Steve. And one thing that Kim might do, she and her husband might talk to the leadership of the folks that she's giving to, mm-hmm. explain the situation and get their counsel.
Right.
You know, do they recommend that they cut back on the giving or whatnot? But at least, you know, I love the idea that God is preparing them for something in the future. Mm-hmm.
And Howard, we'll check back with Kim to see how God works in this situation. I think it'll be exciting to hear what happens.
Me too, Steve.
Let's go now to Missoula, Montana, KMBI. Let's welcome Ernie.
Ernie, thanks so much for calling.
Hi, Howard. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. What's on your heart?
Well, we're right in the middle of starting a for nonprofit garage, and we want to ask you some advice about the 501c3 for nonprofit. Basically, we're going to be offering services to low-income families, single moms, and seniors who can't afford the high cost of mechanical care, and we wanted to make sure we didn't leave any stones unturned. So do we need to have people sign a waiver of responsibility, you know, as far as like them coming back to us when we've done the service for them and things like that?
Right. Yeah. Let me ask you a couple questions, Ernie. You have experience working on cars?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been doing it for about 15 years.
Okay.
Just as a volunteer.
Good. How much will you charge for this service? Who will pay for it?
We're looking at is charging about $25 a labor hour as a donation, and then we're looking at maybe if a person is churched, is to have that church sponsor them in the application process for getting the work done. If they're not sponsored, then we're looking to do the legwork and then hit other places in town like parts stores and asking them if they would donate the need.
Okay, good. Well, there's a huge need for what you're doing. I'm really impressed that you have a heart to do this. A couple quick things. I do my homework, get a good sense of the market, develop a little brochure, then meet face-to-face with church leaders to determine whether or not they'd like to participate in helping to fund the ministry, because you want to find out if the market's going to support it. The second thing I do is I'd look for a mentor, somebody who's done this in your area or someone else, somewhere else. Learn from them. What are the things that you need to do to make it a success? What areas can be challenges? And you know, certainly I'd Google the web looking for other Christians who've done it really well. And then I would treat it, you know, as a business. I would certainly have waivers. I would do everything that any normal business would do. So that the expectations of those who are coming for help, they'd know exactly what to expect from you.
Okay, great. That's outstanding. Yeah.
All right, Ernie. And let me do this because we're running out of time. Let me send you Larry Burkett's book, Business by the Book. You'll learn God's way of operating the business. Mm.
Ernie, we know of lots of churches around the country who have established car care ministries, but never one that was kind of an independent 501c3, which is what you're trying to set up. But I think some of the principles would be the same. And we wish you well with that, and we'd love to hear how it works down the road, okay?
Thanks so much, guys.
Okay, Ernie, thanks so much for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey, next on Money Matters, we've got your email questions about saving to send your kids to a Christian school and a whole lot more. Don't go away.
My name is Emily, and my husband and I are working on Destination 2, which is to pay off all credit card debt and save 1 month living expenses for emergencies.
The Crown Money Map shows you the 7 steps or destinations to true financial freedom.
We have about $1,500 in credit cards left to pay off, and then we can increase our savings.
Steps like paying off credit card debt, starting an emergency fund or a college fund for the kids. Now that all sounds great, but how do you do it? While the Crown Money Map shows you which step to take next, now there's a book that will show you how. Your Money Map, the new book by Howard Dayton. This guide will help you to reach each destination on the Crown Money Map and eventually true financial freedom.
It's a great feeling when you reach the next destination and you can see the progress that you've been making.
To order your copy of Your Money Map by Howard Dayton in hardcover or in audio form, call 800-722-1976.
You're listening to Money Matters. I'm Howard Dayton, along with Dr. Steve Moore. And, Steve, I think we've got some Hey Howards.
We certainly do. Here's our first one. Hey, Howard, we're new parents and want to start saving money so our child can one day go to a private Christian school. Would you advise using a Roth IRA or a Coverdell account for this?
Well, I love the Roth IRA, but the Roth only allows you to withdraw tax-free the money you put in it, not the money you earn, if you take the withdrawal before age 59 and a half. And in your case, you're probably going to do that. Coverdell account, it's sometimes called an education IRA, is a great choice. You can use the money for expenses starting at kindergarten. Now, that may change unless Congress passes an extension of the law that's set to expire in 2010. So I'd recommend that you check out savingforcollege.com for more details.
Hey, Howard, I heard you tell a caller that mortgage expenses shouldn't exceed 40% of your income. Does that include insurance and utilities?
Well, as a rule of thumb, all your housing expenses shouldn't exceed 40% of your income. And yes, that includes all costs associated with owning a home, utilities, insurance, property taxes, your mortgage payments, repairs, maintenance, the whole ball of wax. You know, if you go over 40%, it's a warning that you could be challenged to make ends meet.
And in some cases, Howard, let's say if you make less than $35,000 a year, 40% would be too much.
That's right.
All right. And here's a question about a retirement fund. Hey, Howard, I'm now a stay-at-home mom and no longer contribute to my retirement account with my former employer. What should I do with it?
Well, my suggestion would be for you to roll it over into an IRA. That way you'll have more control on where to invest the funds. And don't forget to get advice on how to roll it over. You want to dot all the I's and cross all the T's so they won't whack you with income taxes on what you roll over.
Hey, Howard, I've heard many times that it's best to invest in a compound interest account. Where can I find one?
Well, any interest-bearing savings account or money market fund at a bank or brokerage company will compound the interest. And to remind you, compounding happens when you earn interest on the interest you've already earned. And the principle of compounding applies to all sorts of investments, such as mutual funds as well.
And that'll do it for email today, but we'll answer more of your questions on Thursday. If you have a question about the journey to true financial freedom, send it along to heyhoward@crown.org. That's heyhoward@crown.org. Remember, be brief, but do include your name, city, state, the call letters of this radio station, and include your prayers for the Atlanta Braves this year. Bobby Cox has a tough season ahead, I'm afraid.
What if you're not a fan of the Braves, Steve?
Well, then pray for whatever major league team works for you.
That's right.
Howard, any final thoughts today?
Well, Steve, at the beginning of the program, I talked about how important it is to realize that God made each of us for a purpose. And identifying what God intends for your life purpose is a process. It usually takes time. The first step in identifying what it is to ask your Creator, the Lord Himself, to reveal it to you. And secondly, read the Bible regularly. You know, the Bible makes this remarkable claim about itself in Hebrews 12, verse 4. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I mean, the Bible is alive, and more often than not, God's going to use the Bible. You're reading the Bible to confirm His purpose for you as you spend time in it. And remember, when He reveals it, it'll help you prioritize how you spend your time and how you spend your money.
And let me quickly mention here that many people think that one's purpose in life has to be full-time ministry. But wherever God plants you, that is full-time ministry.
That's right. And for most people, Steve, it's in their neighborhood or work or whatever it might be.
You've been listening to Money Matters. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Howard Dayton. Sure hope you can join us again next time as together we take another step on the journey to true financial freedom.